Good afternoon, everybody. It is Sunday afternoon. I'm not quite sure what time. I'm feeling a little bit frail. Sorry, I'm going to hope I don't touch the microphone now because I've got a cup of tea in my phone in one hand. I like to keep a free hand when I'm going down the stairs because the dog is just about to trip me up. I don't hold on, but just in case I have to stop myself falling or something. Right, I'm downstairs now. I'm going to go and sit outside with my peppermint tea. I've just kicked the dog ball across the floor. Let's see what it's like out here. It was sunny earlier, but I'm not sure that it is now. It's not really. I don't really know if I want to sit out here. Let me see if the sun's been out recently. I can tell by whether the table's warm or not. It's not. It is, but it's gone. It's not been, you know, it's gone cold. It's just very slightly warm. Do I want to sit out here? It's not cold. No, I think I'll sit. I'll sit just inside the door, and if the sun comes out, I'll come back out. We had a little bit of rain this morning, but as my sleep's messed up again, I do believe I missed it. Okay, I've had a bit of an upset stomach today. I think yesterday I ate too many cherries, strawberries and plums. Shelly had one plum. Do you want to go in there, Pink? Go on. My husband's gone to work. He starts at 3 this afternoon and he will be home after midnight because he doesn't finish till 11. He did the same last night, and coming home on the train from Victoria to Orpington, sorry, that's my chair creaking, it's just does that. It was a really packed, the sun's coming out, there we go. It was a really packed train. Now if I think it's going to stay out, I'll go back outside. I think it's already gone in again. It was a really packed train, and he wondered why there was this space in amongst all, because when people coming home, the last trains coming out of London on Friday and Saturdays are usually full of drunks. Well, not drunks, but people who've just indulged. They're throwing up here. And so he used to have a job cleaning trains. I'm glad he didn't have to clean this one, because he said he wondered why there was this space. I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. I think it's absolutely vile. He said that there was a space and he wondered why, and he went to go and sit there, and then he smelt and saw this huge human poop, and that they'd used like two like little serviettes, like the things you get in McDonald's or in an eating place to wipe themselves, and then just done this huge on the floor in the train by a seat. Some people were sitting there, but he nearly threw up, I think. And they were the guards and that were deciding, the driver, trying to decide whether they should close the carriage. But the thing is, the train was so packed, I think it probably would have been dangerously overcrowded. And I don't think they wanted to order people off, because you know what it's like when people have been drinking, you're likely to have some kind of riot. But anyway, that's just an aside. I wasn't really here to talk about that. I just thought you might like to know. My husband, he used to have a job cleaning trains. And I said, oh, thank God you didn't have to do that. Anyway, he works on the gates. So we decided to try and plan a few days out, because lately he's working a lot. Like this week, he's worked 7 days. They originally gave him 6 days, and then at the last minute they put in today, which really pissed me off. And especially when I hate the late shifts, because, you know, he goes like lunchtime and he's not home till, well, the day's gone. At least when he's on the earlies. He doesn't really like the earlies because he has to get up at 4, but at least he's got the rest of the day then. Even if he comes home and goes to sleep, at least he's here. Anyway, we decided to plan some days out. Tomorrow I'm at the hospital. He's got 2 days off, Monday and Tuesday. And then Tuesday we're going to go out locally. I want to get my nails done and then go to Nando's and take the dog in the park or something like that. Anyway, then next Monday he's doing his driving theory test. He can drive. In Nigeria he could drive, but in Nigeria you don't have to take a test. You have to have a licence, but anyone can get a licence and anyone can drive, basically. So he's had to learn the finer points of etiquette in the UK when it comes to driving. Also to drive on the other side of the road, because, of course, we drive on the left and most other countries drive on the right. So he's got his theory test next Monday at 8 o'clock, and then he doesn't think he's going to get any other days off that week. So he saw an offer for a river cruise and afternoon tea at the Courthouse Hotel in London. So I said, oh, that'll be quite nice. I think it's money for old rope. To be honest, I think we could probably get a ticket for the river boat at a lot less expense than we will be incurring, and just go and have something to eat anywhere. But anyway, it's a bit of a novelty factor, so we decided we're going to try and book it for next Monday. So I said, oh, where is the Courthouse Hotel? I said, I don't know where that is. So he looked it up and he said, oh, it's Great Marlborough Street. I said, oh, I know where that is. I used to work near there because I used to work for English Heritage, one of their head offices in Savile Row, and their main head office used to be in Great Marlborough Street. I don't think it's there anymore. And it's off of Regent Street at the back of Oxford Circus. And I said, I used to go in Marks and Spencer's there. The Marks and Spencer's in Oxford Circus comes out in the back of it. The back entrance is Great Marlborough Street. And I used to go there because it was quicker than going all the way to Oxford Circus. And then going in that entrance, it was quicker for me to go in the back way. And I used to go there most lunchtimes. And so I said, oh, that reminds me of the time I went there and I had odd shoes on. And I was in my early 20s when I was working there, and I suppose I was rushing to get ready for work and I didn't want to be late. And when I got to work, my friends in the office all burst out laughing. Oh, you've got odd shoes on. I had one black and one red, and they were high heels, but they weren't that similar. I don't know how I made such a mistake. I must have been in such a tearing hurry or half asleep or something. So anyway, I was glad they told me because I hadn't noticed otherwise. So at lunchtime, I thought, well, I had to go out. For some reason, I had to go to Marks and Spencer's. So I went down to Marks and Spencer's, and I was just coming out the back and walking up Great Marlborough Street towards Regent Street. And I was quite a fast walker with my guide dog, Star. And all of a sudden, I heard these running feet. I heard this person coming behind me. Melanie, stop, stop, stop. It was a man. And so I stopped, and I didn't know who it was straight away. He had a Scottish accent. He came up and said, do you remember me? It's Dougie Ritchie from Forfar. Now, I got the dog that I had then, Star, from Forfar, because they were taking people. In this area, there was a long waiting list, and they had a short one. So every month, for about 6 months, they took four people from the waiting list down here. One of them was me, and Star was a brilliant dog. She was, if I had to choose, she was... I mean, I think Lammy is what I call my heart dog of my life. He's a pet. But Star would, if I had to choose a heart dog of my guide dogs, that would be her, definitely. She was a brilliant worker. She was an all-round good dog, brilliant dog. But this was like 5 years after I trained with her, 4 or 5 years later. And he said, it's lovely to see you. I'm in London. He starts telling me why he was in London. I can't even remember the reason now. It was a really coincidence that he saw me in the, you know, of all the places. We hadn't known each other there. We knew each other in Scotland. And he was an apprentice then, an apprentice GDMI. And he was only, you know, same age as me. And the first thing I said to him was, I didn't say, oh, it's lovely to see you. Oh, I've got odd shoes on, because I was so mortified. And I thought, well, I better tell him so that he knows. I wanted to tell him so that he knew that I realised, because I'm sure everyone was looking at me and thinking, oh, poor blind girl. She didn't know she had odd shoes on. But so that was quite funny. But it was really lovely to see him, though. And he said, I have to run to keep up with you. Nothing's changed. It has now. Anyway, so I got to what I was talking to Obi about this, and I got to wondering, you know, would people prefer to know something like that? Would they prefer to be told? And I said, I would. And he would always tell me anyway. But he said he's seen he saw a blind man with odd shoes on when he was working at London Bridge. He had one black and one brown. I said, did you tell him? He said, no, I would have done, but I didn't get a chance because the man that was taking him to where he wanted to go, you know, one of the station people that give assistance, he already took him away before I could say anything. And he said, I don't suppose he said anything. And I actually doubt that he did, because I don't think most people would. And I said, well, you know what to say. Don't just say, oh, you've got odd shoes on. Just say, I hope you don't mind me saying, but do you realize? Then they could say, oh yeah, I know. I mean, anyway, why would anyone wear odd shoes? But it gives them the chance to have a bit of dignity. And that's what I said to him. He said, yeah, he knows that. And he told me the story of when he was at university, and he one of his friends, he's still in touch with now. He was best man at his wedding not that long ago, well, before he came here. He used to like this young woman. I don't think she was a student, and he was always hanging around where she lived and that. And one day Obi was looking for him, and he couldn't find him anywhere. And he said, oh, I bet he's round there. And he said, I don't think he ever told this woman that he liked her, but he just used to go and talk to her. And when he got there, he said, you shouldn't forget your friends hanging around here all the time. And then he realised the woman was cooking and making food. So he said, oh, I'll stay and have some of that, and then I'll be on my way. So they were talking, and the woman went to the kitchen to carry on with the cooking. And they noticed that where she'd been sitting, there was a blood stain. She'd obviously started her period. And his friend said, have you told her? Obi said to his friend, have you said anything to her? No, I can't say that. When she came, I said, I bet you did. When she came back, he said, sorry, I don't know if you realise, but I think you started your, you know. And he said she was a bit embarrassed, but I mean, you know, I would rather know. I would rather something. But I don't think many people have the courage to tell you something like that. And it's not just about being blind. I mean, she wasn't blind. It's just sometimes you don't realise something and you'd rather know. I would always rather know. And I tell people that, because I say, when I meet people for the first time and I talk about, you know, as I say, it's not just about being blind, but it is more likely that you do something like that when you're blind, like have odd shoes on, obviously, or there's something you don't realise. I'd rather someone told me, and I always tell people that. I say, I'd rather you point it out to me than, you know, I'm not going to take it badly. I might be embarrassed about it, but I'd rather someone tell me so that I can rectify it if possible. I mean, obviously, the day I was at work with odd shoes on, there was nothing I could do about it until I got back home because, you know, I didn't have time to go home in my lunch hour because I can't remember whether I was living in London or whether we'd moved out here at that time. I think I probably had moved down here, and obviously you can't get... It's an hour and a half journey each way. Sorry, I don't know what's the matter with him. I can't even call him and shout at him because he's deaf. Yeah, so I just wondered if anyone else had any stories like this, and would you rather be told if you've made some kind of faux pas with your dress? Even if it's something like you wear two colours that really don't go together, or I don't know, a simple thing like you, sometimes this has happened to me and you don't always realise, you go to the toilet when you're out and you don't realise that you've tucked your dress or your skirt inside your underwear and you're walking like with it all caught up at the back. That's happened to me a few times. And I would rather someone say, excuse me, even if it's a complete stranger, I don't mind because I... But I think the majority, I think 99.999% of people wouldn't say it to someone, even someone they know. I just wondered if anyone else would rather know and if they've got any stories about things they did that... I'm just trying to think if there was any others. I know my ex-husband, who was blind, he went to work once with a maroon shoe and a beige one, which was even worse than mine. But they were the same. At least he had the excuse that they were the same shoes. I did buy some shoes that were identical, that were two different colours, about 3 years ago. I got a black pair and a white pair. And I actually kept them completely separate. I put the white ones in a drawer and the black ones, which are the ones I wore more often. I actually never wore the white ones because they got destroyed in the fire. I actually never wore them. They were really nice shoes as well. And then another time, my ex-husband thought he was putting... I think people did tell him at work. He thought he put, like, hair mousse in his hair when hair mousse was kind of the thing. He'd actually put pseudo cream, and pseudo cream is white. And, of course, he went... in, like, the mousse is transparent, but he went to work with all this pseudo cream in his hair. Oh, dear. The trials and tribulations of being blind. Anyway, all have a great day, everyone, and I'll speak to you again soon.